ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदमायं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्च देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय मुखं करोति वाचलं पांगुं लांगयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारणं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारणं This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 4, chapter 7, entitled The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha, text number 9. Sandhi Amane Shirasi Daksho वृद्धाभिविक्षितः सद्यः सुप्ता इवतास्तौ दादृशे चग्रतो मृदम् सन्धीयमाने शिरासि दक्षो रुद्राभिवीक्षितः सद्या सुप्ता इवो तस्थौ ददृशे चाग्रतो मृदम् सन्धीयमाने शिरासि दक्षो रुद्राभिवीक्षितः सद्यासुप्ता इवोतस्थौ ददृशे चाग्रतो मृदम् सन्धीयमाने शिरसि रक्षो रुद्राभिवीक्षितः सद्या सुप्ता इवोथस्तौ ददृशे चाग्रतो मृदम् सन्धीयमाने बीइंग एक्सिक्यूटेड Shirasi, by the head, Dakshaha, King Daksha, Rudra Abhivikshita, having been seen by Rudra, Lord Shiva. Sadyaha, immediately. Supte, sleeping. Eva, like. Utastau, awakened. Dadrishe, saw. Cha, also. Agrataha, in front. Mridam, Lord Shiva. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. When the animal's head was fixed on the body of King Daksha, Daksha was immediately brought to consciousness, and as he awakened from sleep, the king saw Lord Shiva standing before him. Kindly repeat after me. When the animal's head was fixed on the body of King Daksha, Daksha was immediately brought to consciousness, and as he awakened from sleep, the king saw Lord Shiva standing before him. Purport. The example given here is that Daksha got up as if he were awakened from deep sleep. In Sanskrit, this is called supta ivutastau. The meaning is that after a man awakens from sleep, he immediately remembers all the duties which he must execute. Daksha was killed and his head was taken away and burnt to ashes. His body was lying dead, but by the grace of Lord Shiva, as soon as the head of a goat was joined to the body, Daksha came back to consciousness again. This indicates that consciousness is also individual. Daksha actually took another body when he took on the head of a goat. But because consciousness is individual, his consciousness remained the same, although his bodily condition changed. Thus, bodily construction has nothing to do with the development of consciousness. Consciousness is carried with the transmigration of the soul. There are many instances of this in Vedic history, such as the case of Maharaj Bharat. After quitting his body as a king, Maharaj Bharat was transferred to the body of a deer, but he retained the same consciousness. He knew that although formerly he was King Bharat, he had been transferred to the body of a deer because of his absorption in thinking of a deer at the time of his death. In spite of his having the body of a deer, however, his consciousness was as good as it was in the body of King Bharat. The arrangement by the Lord is so nice that if a person's consciousness is turned into Krishna consciousness, there is no doubt that in his next life he will be a great devotee of Krishna even if he is offered a different type of body. Sandhyamani shirasi daksho rudra vivikshitaha sadya supta ivotastau dadrishe chagrato mridam. Translation again, when the animal's head was fixed on the body of King Daksha, Daksha was immediately brought to consciousness, and as he awakened from sleep, the king saw Lord Shiva standing before him. This whole incident of Daksha having suffered from a very bad reaction due to offending Lord Shiva, as we are hearing in this verse this morning, is of course a very unusual event or unusual situation, whereby even though Daksha had been killed by the arrangement of Lord Shiva, a different head of a goat was put on his body, and he came back to consciousness. So subject matter has to do with consciousness. Srila Prabhupada points out how this demonstrates that the consciousness is individual. Individual means that although we may leave this present body, we will continue, even though we have a different body, as the same person. We are eternally same person going through various transformations of consciousness. Of course, I don't think anyone here would want to experience what Daksha experienced, finding oneself with the head of a goat and still in the same consciousness. Srila Prabhupada quotes or mentions about various examples in the history, not so unusual for individuals to remember themselves in previous lives. Actually, in modern science or modern times, very intriguing topic amongst many people, individuals endeavoring in different ways to remember their previous lives. Some people by nature are able to remember their previous lives. Those who practice, certain yogis, are able through different techniques to regress, to go back. Of course, as devotees, we are not concerned about previous material lives. Our main interest is to actually revive our original consciousness. Our original consciousness. What is very nice about Krishna consciousness, this consciousness, transcendental consciousness, once we have the great fortune of beginning to awaken this eternal Krishna consciousness, our acharyas explain that it is something that remains continuous until we fully, completely awaken our consciousness, at which point we become qualified to actually go back to Krishna. So consciousness is something very important for those who are practicing Krishna consciousness. Generally, the material consciousness that one develops, generally, it is forgotten when we take on next birth. For most people, although as we are hearing in this example of Daksha, in the example of Bharat Maharaj, there are various instances where people can remember. But generally for most of us, especially most living entities actually in the material world, whose consciousness is still very heavily entangled with the modes of material nature, there is no real advantage in remembering or again bringing back that kind of material consciousness. We should be endeavoring to awaken our dormant, eternal Krishna consciousness. And this is what Bhagavatam is instructing. Ante Narayana Smriti, that the perfection of life is that upon leaving this material body, we are able to remember the Supreme Lord. And if that remembrance of the Lord is there, if it is untinged or unaffected by any kind of pollution, then we qualify to actually go back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, we have to remain in this material world and grow through various experiences which are actually very traumatic. I was hearing how, for example, people go into coma. Very often due to some great maybe shock that the body receives, isn't it? People go into coma sometimes for a few hours, sometimes for a few days or a few weeks, and sometimes for many, many years. So one person was in coma for some 30 or 40 years. And generally when someone is, coma means unconscious. Person not, supposedly not conscious, not aware of what is taking place externally. And this one very unusual case, one person was in coma for some 30, 40 years. And naturally was still living, but unconscious. And then at some particular time, one particular doctor made some kind of experiment using a different method, possibly, to ascertain the level of, I don't know exactly medically what happens, but it's like generally people, they try in in so many ways to contact the person in a coma. And then generally it's ascertained that the person will not come out of the coma and just remains unconscious. So after 30, 40 years, just imagine, this person was in a coma. And because of the effort of this one particular doctor using some new kind of method, was able to contact that person and to communicate in some way. And the person had been conscious and was able all these years to hear, you know, what people were mentioning to him. And it was like he was rediscovered the world, who was able to make a consciousness. In order for consciousness or the individual person or individual consciousness to actually feel happy, one needs to reciprocate, isn't it? Srila Prabhupada explains that the meaning of love can only be established, love can only be experienced when there are two individuals. So in this way, this is one of the explanations of how individual is not, individual soul is there, but then there is the Supreme Soul, means God, or the concept of God is not impersonal. The concept of God is personal. So anyways, this is one of many examples whereby actually each individual person hankers to reciprocate with other individuals. And the perfection of life, of course, is to reciprocate, to awaken our natural, what is meant to be our natural reciprocation with the Supreme Individual Personality. That means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So as devotees, we are, our whole life actually is, as devotees, is centered very much on awakening more and more that original consciousness, that original spiritual consciousness. It is explained how Krishna Bhakti, Nitya Siddha, Sadhya Kabunoi, Sravanadi, by hearing, by the hearing process. Srila Prabhupada explains how of all the senses, hearing actually is the most important. When we sleep, all of our senses actually become inactive. But the hearing, one can become, one can again regain to one's senses by hearing. So this is the process which is, of course, recommended. That is the first of the nine activities in devotional service, which is explained by the acharyas, sravanam. Sravanam by hearing, and then by chanting, then Vishnu Smaranam, one will be able to actually remember the Supreme Lord. So our process is to gradually reduce or eliminate consciousness which is connecting us or keeping us in this material world. And therefore, we are meant to associate with individuals who are endeavoring to develop this higher consciousness, spiritual consciousness. We come to a place like Vrindavan, where we are able to hear 24-hour kirtan. It is actually directly the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there is constant sound vibration, especially in the matter of hearing. There is constant awareness of the Supreme Lord. There's constant engagement on the part of devotees in serving the Lord. And everyone is also an individual personality. We are, we should be, less absorbed and less interested in what is our material individuality. As devotees, we are meant to endeavor to understand, to realize what is our spiritual individual identity. And of course, the beginning of that, in its very early stages, is the simple Aham Brahmasmi. We are spirit souls, or Jiver Swarubhoi Krishna Nitadas. We are servants of Krishna. But this consciousness is meant to go beyond that. As devotees, we one day, by the mercy of the Lord, we will come to understand what is our eternal identity, actually, as spirit souls. Until we come to that point, we are still covered. We are still not knowing who we actually are. Although we are devotees, practicing devotees, we still do not know what service we are meant to take up in the spiritual world. Of course, as devotees, there are ample ways, ample opportunities to engage in devotional service, even within this material world. And the more we take advantage of different ways, of different services, then all of these activities are meant to gradually help awaken, ultimately. Just like we see examples in the Goswamis of Vrindavan, such exalted personalities were able to simultaneously remain conscious of their external body and also be awakened, fully conscious of their eternal service to the Supreme Lord, their nitya swarup, their eternal identity and eternal service in the spiritual world. So as devotees, Srila Prabhupada explains, actually in the early days, some of our devotees coming for the first time to India, coming for the first time to Vrindavan, to Govardhan and Radhakun and Shyamakun, became maybe a little bit prematurely over preoccupied by developing their original spiritual identity. And of course, we know how various casualties took place because of that. It is good. It is desirable. We should know that we have an eternal, very unique, specific identity, individuality. Just like when we come to the Holy Dham, we see so many wonderful Vaishnavas, some of whom we haven't seen for many years as well. And we can easily understand how everyone is an individual. It's always very wonderful to, especially Vrindavan is very, very much meant for that purpose, bring devotees together. Ultimately, we are all heading for the original Vrindavan in the spiritual world. This is like, this is our entrance, actually. Vrindavan here in Uttar Pradesh is our entrance in many ways to the eternal spiritual abode in Goloka Vrindavan. And it's wonderful to see how year after year, although sometimes there are many years of intervals before devotees can come to the Holy Dham, because the material world is very entangling in so many ways. But such places as Vrindavan Dham are, of course, very unique, very special places where we can make more progress. We could say even quicker progress in unveiling, so to speak, our individuality as servants of Krishna. holding the class here, actually in the courtyard, brings back a few memories of when Srila Prabhupada himself, I was mentioning to Janardhan Prabhu, Prabhupada was actually sitting, I mean he's still sitting here, but that was in 75 or 76, possibly 77, no, 76 or 77, I was not here in 75. Prabhupada was giving a lecture to probably a packed audience of devotees. Some great, somehow I was able to fan Srila Prabhupada that particular morning. This is a very a memorable courtyard where Srila Prabhupada and so many devotees, of course, came and perform various activities of devotional service. So this individuality is something very important for all of us as Vaishnavas. We preach very much this aspect because this is very different, something very unique, very special. that is unlimited, actually. Krishna as an individual personality always remains amazed at uncovering himself, so to speak. Krishna is always attracted. Actually, Krishna is attracted, of course, to devotional service, and because he is the origin of that devotional service, he's attracted to himself as well. And we all have, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, this very great opportunity, very wonderful opportunity to enter more and more. And Krishna consciousness is giving us that opportunity to deepen our understanding of what is Krishna consciousness. And it all very much centered on this individuality of Krishna as the original person, and of so many wonderful living entities, unlimited living entities, who display more and more of wonderful qualities as they awaken more and more to Krishna consciousness. So as Krishna is ever attractive, Krishna's devotees are also more and more attractive as they unfold in Krishna consciousness. And this is something very wonderful, actually. Something very unique, very wonderful, which all of us, again, by Prabhupada's mercy, who are getting this opportunity, then we are meant to appreciate devotees, appreciate one another more and more. And it's always very wonderful to see how devotees are advancing in Krishna consciousness. As devotees advance, they naturally display so many of the original qualities that Krishna actually has. So all of these qualities are actually already dormant, as we know, within the heart of actually all living entities. Every single spirit soul on this planet or within the universe, they are simply waiting, waiting for an opportunity for somebody to knock on their door to awaken them, begin awakening them to Krishna consciousness. So in this way, Krishna consciousness is very wonderful in that it is unlimited. That is, I'm sure, one of the reasons, one of many reasons why all of us have been attracted to this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, to these literatures such as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which contain information which is actually not limited. It is, even though we may be hearing some of the same instructions, some of the same examples, Srila Prabhupada would often say, isn't it, as I have often mentioned or repeated, Prabhupada often would repeat, and of course in Kali Yuga, so it's very important for us to repeatedly be hearing many of these same instructions. So by this constant process of hearing Krishna consciousness, although normally in Kali Yuga, such kind of understanding, we generally are less conscious, of the fact that what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is giving to us is something very, we could say, very lofty, very high, very, very special, very, in many ways, yeah, very confidential. I mean, even the basic instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, which is considered as the preliminary introduction to spiritual life, that itself is confidential. What to speak of higher instructions which are there in the Bhagavatam, and higher instructions which are there in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have a notion of unlimited knowledge, information, understanding, unfolding of consciousness. Krishna consciousness means an ever increasing unfolding of consciousness, which takes place as we interact amongst ourselves, as we endeavor to render even very simple, menial service to Krishna. Krishna is always extremely, very, very pleased. Not only pleased, he becomes indebted. Krishna becomes indebted, becomes obligated practically to reciprocate with anyone who takes up devotional service, even renders a small amount of service. So likewise, we as devotees, as followers of Krishna, servants of Krishna, as individuals endeavoring to become servants of Krishna, we also need to develop our appreciation for other devotees, anyone who is engaged in devotional service. Of course, even beyond that, we are not only meant to appreciate those who are devotees. We are meant to appreciate any living entity because ultimately everyone is a devotee of Krishna, a servant of Krishna, an individual servant of Krishna, having his own eternal identity. And we all know how when we exchange, when we get to know devotees, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to get to know devotees, to get to know about their different services, their different realizations. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada has given us this wonderful opportunity to take up to Krishna consciousness, to try and take out from various purports and instructions which we hear every day from the Bhagavatam, something that can touch our heart, that can help us unfold even more so that we can make progress in devotional service whenever it is possible, help others as well to make progress. That is very much part of the mission of the Krishna Consciousness Mission. We are part of a very important movement, Krishna Consciousness Movement, inaugurated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose 500th anniversary we are celebrating this year. So, means wonderful opportunities, just like during the time of Lord Chaitanya. Whoever was present at that time became very much absorbed in the preaching mission of Lord Chaitanya. Even those who did not see directly Lord Chaitanya, you see, like great personalities like Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Pandit, they never directly, but you know, the whole atmosphere, the whole, everyone was talking about Lord Chaitanya and all of the wonderful activities, preaching activities that he performed. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, such a great personality, although not physically present with us, this movement, the same movement, the same mission of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, we could say, carried on, revived in different ways as well, introduced various, so many new dimensions, so to speak, preaching opportunities that were not there before. Actually, were there, but were not taken up before, you know, preaching opportunities outside of India. So in this way, Krishna consciousness is meant to remain a very vibrant activity where each and every devotee, simply by, if one simply has even a small desire, right, it is based on desire, a sincere desire to want to know, to understand, to want to serve Krishna. If one has even a small desire based on sincerity, then Krishna will reciprocate and give various opportunities to all of us. I don't know about, well, devotees are all in different situations. I generally come for a very short time to the Holy Dham, so I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of the devotees who are sitting here this morning, who are visiting, either visiting the Holy Dham, or maybe even more so those who are living in the Holy Dham, serving here at Krishna Balaram Temple, just to express my sincere gratitude for all of you being present, taking up the practice of devotional service, being part of this movement that Srila Prabhupada has established, which is ongoing with all of its ups and downs and challenges which are there. As long as we are here in the material world, these things will be there. And somehow or other, as Srila Prabhupada would remind us, quoting from his Guru Maharaj, we have to make use, you know, best use of a bad bargain. We have a bad bargain being here in the material world, having this material body. But We try to make the best use of it by closely, daily basis, hearing from our great acharyas, hearing from Bhagavatam, by chanting the holy name, associating with devotees, serving in the holy dham. Great opportunity just to be here. We should avoid as much as possible, and we all have that tendency, myself included, of taking things for granted, isn't it? So we, especially when we come to the holy dham, we should know this is a very special place. It is not simply by accident. You know, some people make all kinds of endeavors to come to the holy dham and they cannot make it. There are stories. So it is only by Krishna's mercy that we're able to come to the holy dham to take darshan of Krishna Balaram, Sisi Radha Samishandar, Sisi Gornitai. And so we should take full advantage. And once again, thank you very much for the devotees who are, for all of you who are here and still chanting the holy name, although at times various obstacles are there to possibly make us change our mind in different ways. So I hope we could, all of us could get some kind of small inspiration from hearing at least the purport given by Srila Prabhupada here this morning. Thank you very much. Jai Grantharaj Mad Bhagavatam Ki. Hare Krishna. Any quick question?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. The tendency for a neophyte devotee is that he's very self-centered.
Yes.
And because of this, it's very difficult for him to appreciate other devotees in spite he is seeing them doing nice service. So is there any other ways besides we continue hearing and chanting, any practical ways how we can be able to develop this kind of appreciation towards other devotees so that we can make further advancement?
How to develop more appreciation for other devotees? Well, of course, it is not that chanting and hearing is not practical. I understand what you mean. These are the regular recommended, there are recommended standard processes, and those are actually the most powerful ones. Just like we know the five main processes for awakening our original dormant Krishna consciousness, pure love of Krishna, these five processes, you mentioned two of them actually, associating with devotees and hearing Bhagavatam. So these five which are mentioned, Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan, Bhagavat Sravan, Maturavasa, Srimurtira, if one, and I guess praying to Krishna to help us develop this kind of appreciation, closely associating with individuals who are very much, let's say, dedicated and surrendered. appreciation can only come by develop consciousness, you know, because it's a question of becoming aware, isn't it? Like in the beginning, yes, because we are, our consciousness is less developed, therefore we are less aware, we are less appreciating other devotees. So I would say that it's especially important for individuals to know that there are five specific methods which are the most powerful, by which one's consciousness will become more quickly purified. By the consciousness becoming more quickly purified, then we will automatically, naturally, be able to appreciate others, appreciate Krishna as well, appreciate the whole realm of spirituality. It cannot be appreciated artificially. Appreciation comes when our consciousness, higher consciousness, is developed. And that higher consciousness cannot be developed unless we become purified. And generally that purification is done through sadhana, although at times by some special mercy, by special kripa, it may be awakened. But that is generally rare. So for most of us, we should apply the regular process which is given, beginning especially by this sadhu sangha nama kirtan. And then very often as devotees, of course, those questions do come. Sometimes there are some tricks. is there any quick quick remedy or like that? But generally we should take the, I would say, concentrate on the recommended and norm which is given, and then that appreciation and whatnot will develop or will unfold. Yeah. Yes.
You were speaking about awakening one's swarup, and sometimes people are very eager to awaken their original relationship with Krishna. Everyone
yes.
has a swarup. And
yes.
And then sometimes people are concerned about, in a philosophical way, that, well, we really never came from the spiritual world, you know, that nothing falls from the spiritual. But after hearing Srila Prabhupada's lectures and words of going back home, back to Godhead, and awakening your original relationship with Krishna,
yes.
How concerned should one be to try to philosophize or understand philosophically, you know, where we've come from and this nature of swarup and...
You're really asking this question. Well, I'll answer what Srila Prabhupada answered, is that we should not philosophically be over preoccupied of where we come from. Rather, we should be preoccupied how to get out of here and take to the recommended process. Prabhupada spoke about it is there in our Shastra about our original relationship with the Supreme Lord. So we should, it's explained, for example, how, you know, through the 9 levels of development which take place from Sraddha to Prema. So just before Prema, at the level of Bhava, that is where actually the original Swarup automatically becomes revealed to the living entity. So in other words, it's like it's going to happen at some particular time if we simply apply the process of Krishna consciousness. You know, it's just like if you apply for a job, if you want to work for some company, well, you have to go through the motions. You have to go through the whatever, you know. You have to have an interview. You have to make the application. You have to meet with a person. You have to wait for a certain time. Like that, you know, whatever the process may be. It's like that for anything. So it's like that also for developing our original consciousness. The 9 levels of which are explained by our acharyas will gradually bring us to that point where that will be, it is revealed by Krishna. It is revealed, it is awakened. Like it, without Krishna, nothing is possible. So I would say that philosophically, in terms of, this is the question of the fall of the jiva. It is not an easy thing to understand, and therefore our acharyas have told us that, you know, they have explained, as Prabhupada has also mentioned, somehow or other we have come here in the material world. So if our acharyas tell us somehow or other, I mean, at least for myself, who am I to try and figure out what is that somehow or other? You know, it's, so I accept that, and I also accept the fact that by following the process, our acharya has also revealed that original individual consciousness will become awakened. I'm happy with that myself. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.